All right, so grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 12. We're going to begin with the first verse in Luke. Luke chapter 12. All right, Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of the multitudes had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, Jesus began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be made known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? And yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, for you are of more value than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man shall confess him before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Everyone who will speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogue and the rulers and the authorities, do not become anxious about how or what you shall speak in your defense or what you shall say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Let's pray. We do thank you, Father, that you have expressed your love to us in Christ. And I pray that we might be encouraged by this passage this morning as we are in this battle against the enemy, that you will be with us and will sustain us, that you might be glorified by the things that we say and do. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be a child of God and to serve you with our whole life. We just want to give you the honor and the praise and glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So Jesus has just expressed and addressed the faults of the teachers who were presenting and promoting man's ideas instead of God's truth. That's what we studied last week. So in our text this morning, Jesus warns his disciples of sliding into falsehood by listening to these false teachers. There are certainly a lot of voices in our society that are telling us what God is saying. And we, as the church, the true church, we have a responsibility to judge what is being taught us and to stand against heresy, because that is exactly how the enemy wants to attack the church, is by putting in just enough truth into teachings so that we will be misled. We need to stand on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what our goal is as the church of God. And so we are encouraged in that this morning, that we would be able to recognize the difference between constructs of religion that man is putting together and what God has commanded us to do. So that's where we're at. Let's look at verse 1 this morning. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of multitudes had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, Jesus began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So certainly by this time in Jesus' ministry, he is really drawing a crowd. Now, mainly that crowd is there. Well, there's several reasons, but a lot of them are there because they want to see a miracle. They want to be healed, things like that. I'm sure there's some that are there who want to see the battle between the religious establishment and this new teacher that keeps calling them hypocrites. I think that would be interesting to watch. And the last thing, of course, is that there are people there who are in opposition to Jesus that are certainly trying to find a means that would lead to his death. And so that's kind of what we would find in this crowd. We have this large crowd, so now teaching has become difficult. You know, they don't have a nice sound system or microphones or anything else. They just project. We find several times the disciples will describe the location where Jesus is teaching multitudes, and they are always in a natural amphitheater so that they can reach the best crowd that could be heard. But here, Jesus certainly would have a difficulty because of the size and noise of the crowd for the group to hear. So he becomes very intimate at this point. He really, as the group is there and they can hear what they can hear, but his teaching is directed toward his disciples first of all. He wants the disciples of Christ, and that's not just the 12, but it's the ones that are hanging around with him for most of this teaching. He wants them to hear what this message is and understand the encouragement that he is giving to those who are willing to follow Christ in this thing. The first thing that he says is to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, I know some of you ladies bake, so you understand this concept of leaven. And feel free to bake anything you want for me. Cherry pie is fine, but they don't put leaven in that. But anyway, sweet rolls is always great. But leaven, what happens is you put yeast into the dough, and it's a small amount of yeast, and you let it sit around for a while in a warm environment, and the yeast grows into the rest of the lump of dough. That's what it does. It is not fast. It's a kind of a slow process, but it is very insidious in the fact that it does engulf everything. It'll get the entire loaf if you wait long enough. And it is constant. It's just a gradual process that has an accumulative effect, and the result kind of creeps up on you. You know, you leave it there, it's just a hard lump of dough, and an hour and a half later, you got this big massive thing that you better do something with, or it's going to overflow the bowl. And so that's, Jesus says, you need to watch out for the Pharisees, because their teaching, first of all, is hypocrisy, which is saying one thing and doing another. And it's like leaven. If you start listening to what those rascals are saying, it's going to fill up your life and transform you into something that is like them. And so there's a big danger there. Jesus had addressed this subject directly about the religious leadership in our last session. And his attempt was for them to see their error and for them to repent, but instead, the religious leadership began to plot against him for his death. Get rid of him. He's out of the way. He's causing trouble. So Jesus wishes for his disciples to be especially alert to the deceptive teaching of the religious elites. And I think that is a danger that we have in our society. Yes, I know there are some good, godly men that have television programs and things like that, but there's a whole lot of false prophets out there that are proclaiming stuff to make a buck, to get ahead, to have a following, those types of things. And so we need to be careful about the teachers that we listen to and listen to what they're saying, because there are those out there trying to transform the church into their image and not into Christ's image. So be on the alert. Verse 2. There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. What you have whispered in the inner rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So those who don't practice what they preach, who are hypocrites, they will eventually be found out. Now, most likely, you can see this by the events that take place in these leaders' lives. Those who are really searching for the truth will recognize when the truth is not being taught, and you're not going to be blinded by the spectacle of a flashy leader. And I would encourage you, when there's a splash, check the theology. That's just the easy thing to say. If there's a group that's really up and coming and is really happening, it could be truth. It could be a real revival. Just check it. Make sure of what is going on in that event. We need to be on the alert and test what is being said. And then we need to be willing to proclaim falsehood when we see it. And that's not going to be popular. You know, Joel Osteen is a very popular teacher, and he's a hypocrite, and he teaches heresy, and you should not listen to him. Now, that's not very popular because everybody kind of likes him. And there's several others in our day that are just like that, that they are teaching heresy. And we need to be able to say, hey, don't listen to that guy. Don't read his books. Don't waste your time, because he is teaching untruth. He doesn't teach Jesus as the only hope and the only way. He doesn't teach sacrifice and things like that. So be careful what you're following after. Verse 4. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I warn you, whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So here's a really good little teaching for the church. If you are the church, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you are serious about following God, then you're going to encounter difficulty. I will guarantee you that. Jesus guarantees that. If you follow him as he was persecuted, you will be persecuted. So Jesus gives his disciples, his true disciples, a heads up on the difficulties that they're going to face and how they should react to it. First of all, there's going to be somebody come and get you. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have problems. You're going to be uncomfortable. They may even take your livelihood away from you. They may even take your life away from you. And so Jesus says, don't be afraid. God has this plan. There are those who are able to kill your body. That's very true. I mean, we're very fortunate in our society that we don't really see Christians being killed. But there are societies in the world where Christians are killed for their faith. Many times in Muslim countries, when somebody comes to know Jesus, they don't last very long. They're killed because of their faith. But Jesus says very specifically to those people, don't be afraid of those who can just kill you. Now that seems that's hard, because we're human beings and we like our life and we like to live. But the fact of the matter is that God has a plan for his servant. And if our faith and our adherence to the truth brings us into this situation in our society, in our world, that's going to be deadly, think about the consequences of the events that are getting ready to take place. You can reject Jesus, or you can stand firm and speak for Jesus. The result of rejecting Jesus We find in verse 5, and I'll cover that here in a second, the result of the worst result that can be from standing on Jesus' side is that they put you to death. And Jesus says, after that, they can do no other harm to you. That's a pretty good testament. Yes, we like our lives. I'm not asking anybody to purposely go up to somebody and say, oh, go ahead and kill me. I'm a disciple of Jesus. That's not what he's saying there at all. But he's saying, don't deny Christ. I'm a disciple of Christ, and you guys are teaching falsehood. Stop. And they may say, nope, you stop and kill you. But that's all they can do. They have taken a situation and provided a temporary solution by getting rid of the believer. But Jesus says, I warn you whom to fear. The one we ought to be fearing is the one that is controlling eternity and the results of where we're going to end up in eternity. Fear the one who, after he has killed you, has authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Our concern should always be about the eternal. God has a plan for man. And God spoke about his plan to man and told us very clearly that we are to follow him. And if we follow our own ways or own purposes, then when things are over with, when you die, you would be condemned to hell. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Don't worry about the one who can only kill your body and then you end up being with God in heaven, but worry about the one, God, who when you die will send you to hell for eternity. That is should be where our concern is. We should fear him. And then he talks about us. Church, here's good news. Starting with verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents, and yet not one of them is forgotten before God? Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You're of more value than many sparrows. So here's Jesus specifically encouraging us in our faith. 1, God is God. There is a God. And God knows what's going on in creation. He says that, I don't know what they used sparrows for, but they did catch sparrows or birds, small birds, things like that. And they sold them for, according to this, 5 for 2 cents. And yet God knows everything about that. That seems very trivial. Doesn't seem very important at all. But God knows the events that are transpiring in our world. He knows what's going on with the smallest of his creation. He cares about what's going on there. They're not forgotten by God. And therefore, those who are being persecuted, God is aware of their persecution. And he knows what's going on. And he's concerned about the needs of his church. And he knows that the proper outcome is for him to be glorified by whatever events we face. God is there and God knows. He knows every hair on your head. Now, some of you, that's easier than others, but the fact of the matter is it's a big deal that God is paying attention to very small details that are not important to us at all. But God knows and God cares, and he is going to provide for his children and protect his children the way they are needed. Now, not everybody is protected by their physical life remains alive, but their eternal life is protected by God. Jesus said that God holds us in his hands and nobody can take us out of God's hands. So no matter what happens to our physical life, God still is in charge and is still holding on tight to the life of his saints. Verse 8. I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men and the Son of Man shall confess him also before the angels of God. So Jesus clearly talks to us about our responsibility to be a faithful witness to him. He says, he who denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. So it's not a safe environment to be a child of God, but there are benefits to being a child of God. There are eternal benefits to being a child of God. There is a cost to standing for God, and that defines our true faith. Embracing Jesus is going to bring eternal life. Embracing the crowd brings eternal death. So certainly, if you're looking at the eternal and not just the here and now, the true advantage is to trust God and stand with him no matter what. Verse 10. Everyone who will speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. So this passage of Scripture, I don't know if some people get it wrong or they just don't quite think through what he's trying to tell us here in verse 10. But this is the very same thing we've been talking about. We're talking about the temporal world and we're talking about the eternal world. Speaking against the Son of Man, Jesus, is not the same thing as blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. I know that may not seem an easy connection, but that is true. But the first case, speaking against the Son of Man, that's an at-the-moment event. That's a temporal situation. You're not a believer. You say, I don't trust Jesus. That can be changed. See, that's what the difference is. I'm not a believer. I don't believe in this Jesus. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you're a believer. Your situation has changed. Because the Bible says that you're now part of the family of God and you have eternal life. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit is saying, trust Jesus as Lord, and you say, no way, not interested. That's an unchanged life decision. I'm still not trusting Jesus. I'm not ever going to trust Jesus. You're not willing to believe the Holy Spirit's witness that Jesus is the Savior. And when you die, you have no hope because you have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. You have resisted to the end. Congratulations. You're going to lift up your eyes in hell and torment. Verse 11. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not become anxious about how or what you shall speak in your defense or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say. Number one, our expectation is that we will be confronted because of our faith. You got that? If you really are serious about glorifying God through the way that you live, people will confront you. And you will have difficulties because of that. That's the number one thing. The second thing here is that don't sweat the small stuff. Now, that's not necessarily small stuff when you talk about people killing you. But the fact of the matter is, that's not the critical issue of an encounter with the enemy. It's not that you're going to be able to defend yourself. That's not necessarily the case. What it doesn't mean, that's the other thing I want to get to, is that what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean you don't prepare yourself to defend the faith. I know of people who take this and say, well, we shouldn't sit there and be prepared for something like this. Yes, there's a whole bunch in the Scripture about being prepared to confront the enemy when we are challenged by it. So we need to spend time in Bible study and thinking about what God has promised and what God says his plan is, and all those various aspects, those are things that we need to know as the church. But the fact, putting a speech together about something that you don't even know what's going to happen and how you need to defend yourself is not important. That's what this text is saying. You don't have to have a prepared speech. Prepare yourself by studying the Word of God, by keeping your prayer life up to date, by spending time with fellow believers and worshiping God on a regular basis. And then, when you encounter difficulties and hardship, you're ready. You're already in tune with the Holy Spirit because you spend some time praying and have prepared yourself for it. And so when the time comes, then you will say stuff you never would have thought you would have said, because the Holy Spirit is directing you with what you have learned to say those things. So don't have to have a prepared speech, but you do need to prepare yourself to be challenged by the Word of God. We need to learn about Jesus. We need to understand his ways. We need to know what his teachings are. We need to know what his commandments are, and then we'll be ready. Second thing here is, don't stew about the future on this. You're a disciple of Jesus. Therefore, we know we're going to face persecution in some form, but we don't have to have that prepared speech for an unknown situation. We just live as a disciple and trust that the Holy Spirit will lead us in our defense of our faith when the time comes. Okay? And then, as I was reading through commentary this week, I found a really cool statement from Leon Morris. He's an old commentator. But this is what he says here, and it's kind of a fresh perspective of this, because it's when you read verses 11 and 12, it sounds like, well, we're defending ourselves so that we can be freed. Leon Moore says, God is not telling us to secure acquittal. He is telling us that we may best serve God in our trying situation. I love that. You can have the best argument you can in these situations, and you can still be put to death. That's what he's saying. God isn't saying, okay, here's the defense, and you're gonna be freed. He's just saying, here's how we're going to defend our faith against the adversary. That's a wonderful concept. So, what do we learn from our stuff this morning from this passage of Scripture? Well, we've learned what we probably already knew. The disciples of Jesus are at odds with the world. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, the world is going to be against you. The world is going to try to trip you up. The world is going to try to mitigate the effect that we have on the lost. The enemy doesn't want to lose. The enemy does not love us. The enemy does not want people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord. He wants people to go to hell. And so recognize immediately that that's where we're at. We're in this battle. We're in this contest. And because of that, then we are to be on the alert. We need to watch for the subtle attacks upon what we believe, upon who we are, and who the church is. We are to prepare for the not so subtle attacks upon our faithful service to God by Bible study and prayer and worship. It's going to happen if you faithfully follow Christ. But just remember that Jesus says, don't worry about those that can only kill the body. Worry about the eternal and about where you're going to end up in eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the mercy that you have shown to us by snatching us out of our rebellion. And I pray, Lord, that you would embolden us to live for you, and we would just follow your commandments and let the world do what the world's going to do. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. And I pray, Father, we would repay that by being faithful servants. and giving you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.